Murphy looked like Murphy had always looked beneath my sight. She appeared almost as herself, but clearer somehow, her eyes flashing, and she was garbed in a quasi-angelic tunic of white, stained in places with the blood and mud of battle. A short, straight sword, its blade made of almost viciously bright white light, hung beneath her left arm, where I knew her light cotton blazer hid her gun in its shoulder rig. She looked at me, and I could see her physical face as a vague shadow beneath the surface of the aspect I saw now. She smiled at me, a sunny light in it. Though her body's face remained a neutral mask, I was seeing the life, the emotion, behind her face now. I shied away from staring at her lest I make eye contact for too long, but that smile, at least, was something I wouldn't mind remembering. Rosie was another story. The physical Rosie was a small, slight, pale young woman with thin, frail features. The Rosie my sight revealed to me was entirely different. Pale skin became a pallid, dirty, leathery coating. Large, dark eyes looked even bigger and flicked around with darting avian jerks. They were furtive eyes, giving her the dangerous aspect of a stray dog or maybe some kind of rat. The eyes of a craven, desperate survivor. Winding veins of some kind of green-black energy pulsed beneath her skin, particularly around the inside bend of her left arm. The writhing strings of energy ended at the surface of her skin, in dozens of tiny, mindlessly opening and closing little mouths, the needle tracks I'd seen the night before. Her right hand kept darting back and forth over the other arm as if trying to scratch a persistent itch, but her fingers couldn't touch. There was a kind of sheath of sparkling motes around her hands, almost like mittens, and she couldn't actually touch those mindlessly hungry mouths. Worse, there were what looked like almost burn marks on her temples, small black, neat holes, as if someone had bored a hot needle through the skin and skull beneath. There was a kind of phantom blood around the injuries, but her eyes were wide and vague, as if she didn't even notice them. What the hell? I'd seen the victims of spiritual attacks before, and they'd never been pretty. Usually they looked like the victim of a shark attack, or someone who had been mauled by a bear. I hadn't ever seen someone with damage like Rosie's. It looked almost like some kind of demented surgeon had gone after her with a laser scalpel. That pushed the weirdometer a couple of clicks beyond the previous record. My head started pounding, and I pushed the sight away. I leaned my hip against the wall for a second and rubbed at my temples until the throbbing subsided, and I was sure that my normal vision had returned. "Rosie," I said, cutting into the middle of one of Murphy's questions, "when was your last fix?" Murphy glanced over her shoulder at me, frowning. Behind her, the girl gave me a guilty look, her eyes shifting to one side. "What do you mean?" Rosie asked. "I figure it's heroin," I said. I kept my voice pitched to the barest level needed to be audible. "I saw the tracks on you last night." "I'm diabetic," she began. "Oh, please," I said, and let the annoyance show in my voice. "You think I'm that stupid?" "Harry," Murphy began. There was a warning note in her voice, but my head hurt too much to let it stop me. "Miss Marcella, I'm trying to help you. Just answer the question." She was silent for a long moment. Then she said, "2 weeks." Murphy arched a brow and her gaze went back to the girl. "I quit," she said. "Really, I mean, once I heard that I was pregnant, I can't do that anymore."
"Really?"
I asked. She looked up and her eyes were direct, though nothing like confident. "Yes, I'm done with it. I don't even miss it. The baby's more important than that." I pursed my lips and then nodded.
"All right."
"Miss Marcella," Murphy said, "thank you for your time." "Wait," she said as Murphy turned away. "Please, no one will tell us anything about Ken. Do you know how he's doing, what room he's in?" "Ken's your boyfriend?" Murphy asked in a careful tone.
"Yes. I saw them load him into the ambulance last night. I know he's here."
Rosie stared at Murphy for a second, and then her face grew even more pale.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
I was glad I'd gotten a look at her before she found out about her boyfriend. My imagination provided me with a nice image of watching the emotional wounds open up as though an invisible sword had begun slicing into her. But at least I didn't have to see it with my sight, too. I'm very sorry, Murphy said quietly. Her voice was steady, her eyes compassionate. Molly picked that moment to return with a cup of coffee. She took one look at Rosie, put the coffee down, and then hurried to her. Rosie broke down in choking sobs. Molly immediately sat on the bed beside her and hugged her while she wept.